Good evening. This is Peter Hammond in the studio for From the Front Line. And tonight, do we have an unusual program for you. Not only am I interviewing Emma Vaughan-Jones, who's normally the one interviewing me, because she's been doing research on this, but we're doing this in the dark during a blackout, power failure in Cape Town by torchlight. Now, you may wonder, why on earth and how on earth are you doing a radio program without any electricity? Well, we do have some battery backups, and so we are managing to record this, and we trust that we'll be able to upload it onto the World Wide Web in good time. But here we are in darkest Africa, and it feels like darkest Africa today.
Absolutely.
We're literally sitting here with our torchlight, not able to have printed out our notes for tonight because the printers don't work. We can just power the computers with our battery power. But this is what missions is. You've got to be ready for anything.
Absolutely.
Adapt, overcome, improvise, and here we are.
So, never a dull moment, ironically.
Well, might be a dark moment,
yes.
But it's not dull. So, tonight, exposing human trafficking. As most Christians have retreated from social involvement, the great resurgence of paganism is taking place. Now, the abolition of slavery was a fruit of Christianity. However, as Christians have retreated from social and political involvement, and as nations which were once considered Christian have moved into what they term a post-Christian era, we've been seeing a resurgence of all these evils. So those who reject Christianity will in time tend to embrace all the vices outlawed by Christianity. So in this apostate dark age, we're witnessing a resurgence of legalized child killing through abortion, and the killing of the aged and infirm through euthanasia, and the legalization of adultery and polygamy, which by the way used to be crimes, and legalization of perversion and prostitution, and even attempts to legalize pedophilia, and a massive resurgence in slavery, much of it apparently to fuel the pedophilia industry. So, Emma, you've been doing some research on this. We're approaching National Women's Day. We're having outreaches coming in the mall, and for this, you've been doing research. How serious is human trafficking today?
Well, it's absolutely horrendous. Just consider this. Every 2 minutes, a child is exploited in the sex industry. Children, some as young as 8 or 9 years old, or even younger, are being bought and sold for sex worldwide. And we just have to see how that shows that we are living in a sick society.
8 or 9 years old?
Or younger. Absolutely horrendous. So the sex trafficking of young girls is an absolutely evil trade that is unfortunately even more profitable than drugs, and that is considered by organized crime and corrupt politicians and even used to finance terrorist operations in Asia, Africa, and other parts of the world. Governments, politicians, and corrupt police either just turn a blind eye to it, or sadly in many instances, even run interference for and participate in the profits that this abominable sex industry creates. And so the selling of these human beings is a multi-billion dollar industry, which is increased from approximately about $7 billion.
That's US dollars, not Zimbabwe.
US per year in 2000 to now approximately $150 billion every year. And so many thinking people are aware of the sex trade, but there are very few, unfortunately, who are willing to speak out against it or fight back against this very serious industry. And
in fact, they're called the sex industry. Maybe it should be more accurate to call it a rape industry.
Yeah.
And absolutely. A slave industry. I mean, isn't it correct to actually call it slavery?
Absolutely. Slavery is alive and thriving in our society. As you mentioned earlier, it was abolished centuries ago by Christians, but it's definitely, as you said, now that we've started to turn away from that, we see it coming back. And researchers now estimate that there are 40 million people enslaved in the world today.
40 million?
40 million.
That's more than there were back when William Wilberforce was fighting it.
Absolutely, yeah. So in Africa alone, over 2 million people are trafficked annually. And of this number, there are an estimated about 30,000 children as young as 4 years old who are being prostituted currently in South Africa.
Now, what kind of sick person wants to prostitute a four-year-old?
Absolutely. It's
horrendous.
Buying and selling of young girls is an industry.
So, staggering. And, yeah. And we're not talking about just one or two incidents. We're talking about tens of thousands.
Oh, absolutely. It's estimated that there are millions of victims, although only about 50 to 100,000 cases are found or reported each year in South Africa.
Only, that's still, I mean, that's
the hideous horrific. Amounts, absolutely. Yes. The University of Johannesburg reports that trafficking occurs at a slightly higher rate for girls than boys, with 55% of all trafficked people in South Africa being females.
Now, you don't normally think of boys being trafficked for the sex industry, but I've read a report recently that says that about 20% of the prostituted children are actually boys.
Yeah.
So, of course, it would seem
a large amount, yeah.
The paedophilia industry isn't just after abusing girls. Mm. They're also increasingly abusing boys too.
Absolutely, as the homosexual agenda increases, of course, too. So counter-trafficking data portal, they looked into 286 accounts of trafficking here in South Africa, and about 70% of those cases were females, and about 50% of them were people being trafficked for sexual exploitation, where the others were still being trafficked for other purposes such as organ harvesting or forced labor or any other horrendous.
Now, just in case somebody missed that, organ harvesting. So what is involved here, that a person gets kidnapped, what, so that they can rip out his kidneys or something like that?
Yeah, all sorts of things. Any parts of the child, of the person. It could be external body parts, internal body parts, whatever it is, sold for,
and
often witch doctor.
Presumably they don't always sew them up afterwards.
Oh, no, very.
Basically
not.
Kidnapped, exploited for
organ hafting, chopped up into pieces,
and then
mutilated.
And then left for dead.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely horrendous.
And there's a market for this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely horrendous.
Okay, so we then hear about slavery, that sometimes there's sex tourism involved. What on earth is that?
Well, yeah, child sex tourism is very prevalent in and between a number of South African cities, notably the capital city, Johannesburg, and also Cape Town, where women and girls from other African countries are often imported to South Africa for commercial sexual exploitation, sometimes domestic servitude or other jobs in the service sector. And then occasionally these women are taken as far as Europe and for exploitation. Then also there's many Thai, Chinese and European women who are trafficked into South Africa for exploitation. And these are organized by criminal groups, syndicates, local gangs, and sometimes even individual policemen who facilitate the trafficking into, out of, and within South Africa. So trafficking rings often choose transit locations where government officials and the police, they're all so corrupt, and so it leaves the traffickers with very little risk of being caught and victims with little hope of being helped.
Now, you mentioned transit points. Now, this is, for example, for the Pentechnicon 18-wheeler delivery trucks going up and down, for example, the Botswana routes and so on, and apparently all the rest stops, they can pick up a prostitute at the one, drop them off at the next place, and they work backwards and forwards. Mm. And the pimps are controlling them, of course.
Absolutely.
So when they're speaking about transit points, it's often for the trucking communities and so on. And the reason why they get foreign women, why would they want to bring foreign women in who don't speak the local language?
Well, obviously not speaking the local language makes them very vulnerable and unable to find assistance, to find help, to try and even know where to go being foreign. So they're a lot more vulnerable being foreign. And then, yeah, as you're talking about these transit points and how they move them around, what will happen is they get exploited in one city or one truck stop or one whatever it is, and then always rotated and moved and whatnot, as it's a lot more difficult to then trace them and find them.
And they're way away from their family support structure. There's no neighbors,
also
friends,
true.
And anything like that.
Yeah.
Now, for a person who wants to envisage this, are there any dramatic films or documentaries that can help people to maybe understand what you're talking about?
Well, the first one that would come to mind is Taken. Which is a movie about two young girls that go to Europe on holiday, very naively share a taxi, very innocently befriend a young guy.
A stranger.
Exactly.
We were taught not to speak to strangers when we were small.
Exactly. I wonder why. And yeah, he ended up tipping off a syndicate who then came and got the girls, drugged them, raped them, and then forced them into prostitution and sold them to different men, high up men. You see quite clearly that they're very rich, well-to-do men that are buying these women, and it's horrendous.
Now this Taken film, fortunately, it's got a very positive ending, but it exposes, without focusing exactly on just how bad it is, but it gives you the hints and a short glimpse here and then. You get the idea without it being a kind of R-rated type of heavy film.
But
because there's a dad pursuing to get his daughter back. But there's something very interesting in it, how as they kidnap the girls, they quickly allocate according to them, well, these ones can go for the migrant workers in the building site, which are cheap. And then those are going to sort of medium. And, oh, this one's a virgin. She gets sold to the highest bidder, to some
beautiful, pure,
Middle Eastern sheik, for literally they go into the hundred thousand. So a slave can be sold for as little as $60 to $90, or they can be marketed for in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, literally. And in this case, it's foreign crime syndicates. But how interesting that they can quickly tell, oh, well, this girl is just for mass rape, 30 customers a day business. And this one, this is going to get us a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that they can
get
tell,
us a lot of money.
Which is intriguing, that they've got this way of they're allocating according to the value. So it's not that every human being's got the same value. They're looking at them in terms of, well, this one will get us that kind of, we can't get a lot per individual, but we'll get a lot of volume. And this one here, well, you know, we're going to sell the highest bidder and so on. So
absolutely.
Taken is a shocking introduction for those of us like myself who wasn't aware that such things were going on. It certainly makes you want to take more care of your daughter and where she goes, because some people think, well, you know, what's wrong with going to Paris?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But meanwhile, there are syndicates out there to kidnap.
For sure.
But it's not always kidnapping, is it?
There's many different ways of doing it. And for example, in this movie Taken, you see it's a young man who befriends them and gains their trust and all of that, and then last minute they come in and they do get kidnapped there. But also interestingly, what I heard is that sometimes it may not even be males that are getting other young women. It could be females who have been trafficked, and their job is to then go and fetch more women and recruit more women. Exactly, yeah. So it's absolutely tragic, but just also on that point of how they're valued, and they have this whole value system, this woman's worth more, this woman's worth less. The problem is that sex trafficking, and especially when it comes to the buying and selling of young girls, has just become big business and is in fact the fastest growing business in organized crime. And these enslaved people have become the most lucrative commodity traded illegally, and even more so, in fact, than drugs and guns. And one investigative journalist, Amy Fine Collins, notes that it's become more lucrative and much safer for traffickers to sell malleable teens than drugs or guns. And more than that, a pound of heroin or an AK-47 or something like that can only be retailed once, but a young girl can be sold 10, 15 or more times a day, and it's absolutely tragic. On average, a girl might be raped by 6,000 men during a 5-year period of enslavement. So it's absolutely horrendous.
And that's basically their lifespan, because apparently the average trafficked sex slave lives only about 4 years. And they'll die of drug overdoses and abuse and so on somewhere after the 4 or 5 year period. So the average isn't going to last that long. Their lifespan is. And in fact, if you've seen some people who've been rescued from it, they look aged way, way, way past their actual age. You just can't believe how quickly a person can age in this business.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, think about their lifestyle. They're drugged all day, beaten all day. They often will have a quota of men that they have to service, or amounts of money that they have to bring in, and if they do not get to this quota, then they don't get fed, they don't get to sleep, they don't get anything until they finish their quota.
I mean, this is slavery. vastly worse than the slavery that we might be thinking of 200 years ago, which was fought by the William Wilberforces and so on. But that's actually the slavery back then, which seems bad enough.
Yeah.
Terrible evil. This slavery is actually horrifically worse. These people don't have, they don't even own their own body.
Yeah, absolutely. It's horrendous. And so if we look at it, according to USA Today, adults purchase children for sex at least 2.5 million times a year in the United States alone. And we just have to think about that. Who buys a child for sex? But sadly, the answer...
Pervert? But are there that many perverts out there?
Well, sadly, the answer is otherwise ordinary men from all walks of life. A journalist, Tim Swans, writes that they could be your co-worker, a businessman, a doctor, a pastor, a spouse. And he spent more than a year investigating the sex trade in America and says that it's well-to-do men that might have families and children of their own. And yet they're the ones...
We've got a few prominent scandals that have popped up recently, like Harvey Weinstein, who is one of the top producers in Hollywood. In fact, films like Mandela Long Walk to Freedom, first thing you see on the screen is a Weinstein production. And there's so many of these major films made by Harvey Weinstein. And now vast amounts of famous Hollywood stars have come forward and said, I was raped by Harvey Weinstein. And I had to keep silent for my career in order to advance and this, that, and the other. There's a whole lot of the Me Too groups coming out. Well, now you've got Jeff Epstein, who's a big friend of Bill Clinton's and when he's president, and he runs a pedophile island off the coast of America, what they call the Virgin Islands. And he's got two islands out there, and he would bring some of the most famous people in the world, the biggest congressmen and so on, in there. And of course, the evidence is that he was actually involved with intelligence. It was reputed a foreign intelligence agency, people are suggesting Mossad. He was actually getting the people filmed, and thereby they could control the most powerful people in the world, from the most powerful congressmen, heads of committees, the president of the United States. Bill Clinton made 26 visits to Pedophile Island as a guest of this Jeff Epstein, who had his airplane, which they used to call Pedo One instead of Air Force One, and it was equipped with a double bed and all this, where his friends would be.
They called it that themselves.
Yes, and his girls who said that while they were teenagers, were kidnapped from New York and so on, forced for sex by this Jeff Epstein's famous friends, and of course that what they were doing is compromising so they could blackmail and control for political and financial purposes top politicians and so on, but. We see some of the top people in Hollywood have been involved in this. So that's just one element. So who's exploiting the kids? This makes one think, hasn't Hollywood been the main ones trying to mainstream pornography? So what's the link between pornography and prostitution and pedophilia?
Yeah, so there's definitely a major, major link between the two. And what's tragic is that it's causing a greater and more bizarre sex addictions. And agents at the cyber crime scene in Virginia even reported that when it comes to sex, the appetite has now changed, and what was once considered abnormal is now the norm. And so these agents have been tracking a clear spike in the demand for hardcore pornography on the internet, and subsequently a demand for more brutal sex. And as one agent noticed, we've become desensitized as society by the soft stuff because it's so prevalent in movies and music and our education system and all of that.
Hollywood's been pushing the envelope year after year. Yes.
Exactly. And so now that we've been desensitized by the soft stuff, we need a harder and harder hit. And just like any other addiction, you need more increased and more intense doses. And so a study of the life and final confessions, even of Ted Bundy, who sexually brutalized and murdered 43 women, reveals that it all started with pornography, and it escalated to more and more wild and violent sexual atrocities. And sadly, the dark spiritual forces have achieved incredible control over nearly every institution in modern society, including our news media, public education, politics, pop culture, banking, everything. And this phenomenal decrease in society, in our culture, in our morality, is impacting society, and we're seeing it. It's prevalent everywhere because of this pornographic focused society.
Yes, so I think it was well put by Dr. Ted Baer of Movie Guide that Hollywood shapes the culture. And the culture chooses the government and everything else. And what Hollywood's done is they've mainstreamed blasphemy, they've mainstreamed pornography, they've mainstreamed the abuse and use of people. And in fact, it was pointed out to me recently that in Steven Spielberg's very famous film series, right at the beginning, Raiders of the Lost Ark, first of the Indiana Jones series, that right at the beginning, Indiana Jones walks through the door into Nepal and he meets the girl who later we find out, through the whole series, she's the love of his life. She walks, as he walks through, she said, "I wondered when you'd walk through my door, Indiana Jones. You know, 10 years ago." And she says, "I was a child." Now, at that time, she's 23 years old. 10 years ago, plainly they had a sex relationship. And he says, "You knew what you were doing." And it was a strange scene. You thought, where did this fit in? The context that's come out was that at that moment that the film was being made, Steven Spielberg's good friend, Roman Polanski, was being wanted for rape of a 13-year-old. And Roman Polanski is such a favorite in Hollywood. He's had to flee to Poland. I think he hasn't been able to go back to America for the last, 40 years since he raped this girl. And that was proven. And so he's actually a wanted criminal. 500 Hollywood stars and directors, including Steven Spielberg and Harrison Ford, have signed petitions to the U.S. Department of Justice to give him an amnesty and to allow this Roman Polanski rapist back. And at that very moment that Roman Polanski fled the country to avoid getting imprisoned for this rape, they put into the film, in fact, you can read in how the film was made, Steven Spielberg was wanting to make it down to 11 or 12, and they settled finally on 13. So that it's a subtle hit, but if you go back and you look at it, it's like, what's this doing in a family type of film like Raiders of the Lost Ark? That sort of this great hero was able to be having a sexual relationship with a girl young enough to be his daughter when she was 13. For goodness sakes. But that's the kind of sick, sordid characters that they've got out there in Hollywood. And there's a lot of evidence that some of these top directors are not just rapists like Harvey Weinstein, but pedophiles.
Absolutely. And what's more horrifying is that often, as you say, those fueling the demand, those sick abusers of children, are protected. And one investigator of Fox News points out that historically, we've allowed these sex buyers to hide behind a mask of anonymity, and actually we just call them a John. And you don't call them by their real names because you let them stay behind the mask of anonymity, keep face and everything. But the only way that we're going to attack the supply side is by going after the demand. And that often means the sex buyer also needs to be held culpable for the damage and trauma that he or she is causing to these children. So it's not just the traffickers themselves, but the customers who are grotesquely to blame.
Now, there's a documentary out called Nefarious, which is produced by Exodus Crime, which is an excellent documentary exposing this whole sex trade. And they give an example of Sweden that prosecutes every single customer of the prostitutes. They look at the prostitute as a victim, they'll prosecute the pimps, and they'll prosecute the customer, or for want of a better word.
Yes.
A rapist might be a more appropriate term.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's an interesting point, prosecuting them. But it seems in South Africa we have not been prosecuting prostitution for a long time. Mm. It used to be a crime. Actually, adultery used to be a crime in this country, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But right now it seems that...
Of which pornography would be considered adultery.
And now pornography is legalized. Perversions legalized and promoted, and prostitution is tolerated, because while they've tried to legalize it, we've had the Minister of Police and members of Parliament trying to legalize prostitution in the run-up to the World Cup Soccer 2010, and only overwhelming protests prevented them. But while they haven't legalized prostitution in this country, they're not prosecuting it.
Absolutely. Well, one 25-year-old victim of trafficking, after being rescued, stated that sadly for every 10 women that are rescued, there are about 50 to 100 or more girls who are brought in by the traffickers. And unfortunately, they're not 18 or 20 years old anymore. She says they're minors, as young as 13 years old, who are being trafficked. They're little girls. We ask, well, where on earth does this sick appetite for young girls come from? And all you have to do is look around you. Young girls have been sexualized for years now in music videos, on billboards, and television ads, in clothing stores. and marketers have created a demand for young flesh and a ready supply of over-sexualized children. Jessica Bennett from Newsweek points out that all it takes is one look at a social media photo of teens to see examples, and if they aren't imitating porn that they've actually seen, they're imitating the porn-inspired images and poses that they've absorbed from everywhere else. And unfortunately, this fashion of porn stars and everything has made their way into middle schools and high schools. And it doesn't take a genius to see that, sadly, sex, if not porn, has invaded our lives. Whether we welcome it or not, television brings it into our living rooms, the web brings it into our bedrooms. And according to a 2007 study from the University of Alberta, as many as 90% of boys and girls, 90% of boys, 70% of girls, aged 13 to 14, have definitely accessed sexually explicit content and porn at least once, and many view it regularly. And so in other words, the culture is grooming these young people to be preyed upon by sexual predators. And then we wonder, why are young women are being preyed on, trafficked and abused? And sadly, there are large numbers of revolting men who are so sick that they want to have sex with young girls.
Yes, well, actually, we've got to correct you on a term there. They're not men. Yes, they might be males, true. But they're not men.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they're certainly not gentlemen.
No.
There's a big difference between a male, a man, and a gentleman.
Yes.
Just like between a female, a woman, and a lady.
Yes.
I mean, there's a quality that's obviously lacking here, but the kind of people who can do this, and you use the word grooming.
Mm.
Now, we've heard of rapist gangs grooming people for abuse, pedophile gangs raping and grooming. So what these studies are showing is that our media, even our mainstream media, has been grooming young girls, even primary school girls, to basically prepare them for being sexually abused. And a lot of the media, if you walk into the shop, some of the clothing for the little girls in the section for even just primary school girls, a lot of it looks like prostitute type of clothing?
Yeah, exactly. And it might seem innocent if you don't see the agenda behind it. You go, oh, cute, she thinks she's wearing mommy's high heels. But no, actually, the sick, perverted man is not seeing it in mommy's high heels, or he might be, who knows. But it is just this horrendous sexual agenda that is being pushed onto our children.
And it's mainstream and it's tolerated. It shouldn't even be legal, let alone tolerated.
Exactly. So the sex trafficking is part of a much larger spectrum that includes sexualized television, the glorification of a sexual culture, and a multi-billion dollar sex industry that encompasses pornography, music, movies, entertainment, all of this. And so there are an estimated 4 million porn sites on the internet, all of which are only a click away from your child's cell phone, tablet, or laptop. And so we have to educate our children on this, as sadly it's no longer will our child know how to respond if they come across porn, but rather when they come across it. And worse than that, in fact, Dr. Eve's curriculum of comprehensive sexuality education is in many overseas schools and is now even trying to be brought to South Africa, where children as young as grade 4 are taught how to masturbate, that they're exposed to pornography as entertainment, and they are taught that they can be whatever gender they feel like. And it's a radical, explicit sexualization of children. And the UN and UNESCO promote this to children as young as 6 years old, teaching them things like anal sex is normal and good, and they should explore. They should start exploring their sexuality at 6 years old. They're trying to make this curriculum compulsory in many countries around the world, but parents should be able to choose who teaches their children about the sanctity of sex, at what age, with sensitivity and biblically. But the state is trying to take that right and these decisions away from the parents and push this explicit sexual agenda.
Now, you said something there about the UN and UNESCO who are promoting this. Now, mm-hmm. UNESCO, for those who are not aware, produces a lot of the textbooks. In fact, all over Africa, I found even Christian countries and Christian governments accepting UNESCO textbooks, which promote evolutionism, situation ethics, sex education, a whole lot of things, including, as you said, things that should be banned just from a health concern. The World Health Organization should be concerned that UNESCO is promoting more health hazards by, there's, for example, 65 different sexually transmitted diseases out there, many of which are absolutely horrific and untreatable.
Yeah.
So why would they want to encourage this kind of exploration of things that are health hazards. But there's a film out there which is not a, it's a drama. It's a big screen drama, but it's not a fiction film. It's based on a true story and a true book. Now, this is The Whistleblower. And The Whistleblower is based on Catherine Bolkovac, a policewoman's experiences in Bosnia. She went to work for the UN to protect women in Bosnia. And one of the first things she managed to do is rescue two girls who'd been trafficked from Moldova, which is an old Soviet Union. And these girls had been lured into the old Yugoslavia for what they thought was better job prospects and maybe a job in acting or modeling and things like this. And before they knew it, they're being beaten, drugged, and all the rest of it, raped and sold. Well, here, this UN peacekeeper, policewoman, Catherine Bolkovac, rescues these two women. That's a good thing. Puts them in a witness protection program. When she goes to visit them next, discovers they've been handed back by the UN to the very pimps who tortured them to death. Now, this actually happened. This is documented in a book. This film is not an invention of some creative scriptwriter. This scenario happened. She did more investigation, and she, of course, complained all the way up to the head of the mission in Bosnia. No concern. In fact, they started to threaten her lives. She went as far as the General Secretary of the UN, which is the highest authority in the United Nations, by the way. And next thing, she's got a hit on her life. She's got to flee. She fled to Britain. In Britain, they gave her a different identity and have given her diplomatic immunity because they believe her life's in danger from the United Nations. Because the British courts determined that this was valid and this was true, and that she had uncovered, that's why it's called The Whistleblower, she uncovered the United Nations involved in not just covering up human trafficking, but actually running it. And here comes out another massive shock, and that is that according to Free the Slaves and Exodus Cry, and others have investigated this, 161 member states of the United Nations are involved in human trafficking. Now, there's only 212 countries as members of the United Nations. 161 of those are involved in human trafficking. That's three quarters of the United Nations membership are involved in human trafficking. So no wonder the UN organization hierarchy are protecting and covering for it. Because what is the UN? The United Nations is the largest collection of unelected dictators, human traffickers, drug dealers, and criminals on the planet. And here is a policewoman trying to protect women and finding that the UN's involved in running the human trafficking industry in Bosnia in that case. So in fact, the situation is far more serious than what we dared imagine, because if you thought that governments are going to protect you, in many cases, the government's actually complicit.
Yeah, absolutely. The truth is that if the governments, well, the government's war on sex trafficking, like their war on drugs and war on terrorism, it's all a farce because drugs, terrorism, sex trafficking, they're all about huge money, and certain politicians and high up influential people are profiting from all these fake wars. So if the government wanted to stop the sex trafficking, it could, but it doesn't. They could pass laws making sex trafficking a capital offense, or at least punishable by life imprisonment, but they won't. And in part, it's because some powerful people are actually participants, i.e. customers, in this evil sexual abuse of little girls, or making money from it.
Or in the pay of the people who run it. Mm. Yes, indeed. Well, the only way that we won the war against slavery in the 19th century was because the British Parliament declared war on slavery, mobilized the Royal Navy to search even vessels on the high seas, and they made it first a felony, then they made it 10, 12 years in prison, and then they finally made it capital punishment. I mean, literally walk the plank sort of thing for these slave traders. And that's the only way they destroyed the slave traders. It became a capital offense.
They're now legalizing it.
Well, of course, it's biblical that capital punishment is for murder, for rape, and for kidnapping. Mm. So kidnapping and rape, both of which is involved. In fact, murder is also involved. This trade, there's a lot of murder, there's a lot of rape, and of course, there's a lot of kidnapping.
Mm.
And so, in fact, most of it's kidnapping.
Yeah.
So how on earth do they not qualify? On biblical grounds, every Christian should support death penalty for sex trafficking, rapist, slave owners and slave traders, just as the Bible requires them, just as was done to defeat the slave trade in the 19th century. If we don't do that, we're not serious about fighting the slave trade. So, yeah, Emma, absolutely. Most important question of all, what can you do?
Well, firstly, we need to look out for ourselves and for our own children and family members. So we definitely need to educate ourselves and educate our children about this growing evil. So we need to, parents need to watch their children closely in public areas, especially in big shopping centers, even churches or other public areas, and watch closely what they are doing on social media, as this is where many innocent and naive young children, girls and boys, are being recruited. Better yet, if you can, eliminate all social media from your home, but explain it to your children why, so that they don't just keep doing it secretly. So these are all good, like, precautionary defensive strategies, but we also need to be more on the offense as well. And so ultimately we need to stop feeding the monster. Sex trafficking is part of, like I was explaining earlier, the large sexualization of everything in TV, movies, music. So we need to be aware of that, Hollywood, and stop feeding that monster. And so sadly, this epidemic is largely one of our own making, especially in a corporate age where the value placed in human life takes a backseat to profits. And sadly, there's major corporations like Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Apple, Yahoo, which don't even, can you believe it, don't even compare to the amount of money that is made in the porn industry. So we can step forward and we can call on city councils, elected officials, police departments to make the battle against sex trafficking a top priority, more so even than other so-called wars on terror and drugs and that type of thing. Those are also very important.
But they actually feed one another. I mean, they're related. It's often the same people even involved in the drug smuggling and the arms smuggling and the human trafficking.
Exactly. So getting them to focus on prosecuting the pimps and the buyers or the customers,
rapists
who victimize these innocent young girls. So it's not just the supply that's the problem, but the demand too. The demand for pornography, the demand for explicit movies, the demand for all of this. So we need to be aware that we are part of the problem if we are demanding those types of movies and music
or tolerating them,
or even tolerating it. Exactly. So legislators need to pass legislation aimed at prosecuting these traffickers and the sick men buying them. And so we can vote accordingly. We can write into newspapers, to editors, all of those. So, because consider how you'd feel about these reprobates if your own daughter was part of one of their victims. So we definitely need to turn off Hollywood. We need to restore basic principles of morality and ethics to our schools, our town halls, our families. And only then may we earn favor with God and pray for forgiveness for the tens of millions of children that have already been exploited or murdered, and we've just turned a blind eye. So we definitely need to pray for forgiveness for the evil that we've passively allowed to take root and grow in our nation in the name of progress or tolerance.
So we used to have a vice squad in our police force in South Africa, and they were very busy and they crushed a lot of this nonsense. But one of the first things that Thabo Mbeki did when he was president was to get rid of all these different specialized units, like the vice squad. And I think the only vice squad I know of right now is the Cape Town Metropolitan Police, which is a Cape Town municipal initiative. It's not part of the National Southern Police Service. And they've done quite a lot of good work, and they've exposed quite a lot of human trafficking going on in Cape Town, with Russian girls brought in here and things like this. And in fact, there's been some very violent hits between these rival gangs, you know, machine gunning cars on the highway and things like this. So they bring in a lot of other crime with it.
It's,
so
absolutely,
we know that this around here. Now, we are coming up in Cape Town to the National Women's Day. How can people be involved? Well, of course, South Africa's one country that's got a so-called National Women's Day, which seems awfully hypocritical when you've got these pious politicians giving us meaningless platitudes and meaningless public holidays, while they've legalized prostitution and pornography and perversion, and they tolerate all this human trafficking, and we're actually wanting to legalize it for the world trade, world soccer. And wouldn't it be better for them to ban pornography and execute rapists, just for starters. That might protect women's rights more effectively, but what can we do?
Exactly, as I'm sure the women that would love a holiday on Women's Day definitely won't get it, so as they're slaves.
Not those women, that's for sure. Yeah. Correct, yes.
So yes, we have our Women's Day outreaches coming up soon, which is mainly an awareness campaign to try and raise awareness to all these terrible atrocities, the slavery that is very much prevalent in our day and age of women being exploited. So for this campaign, we've got many outreaches in malls around Cape Town, especially where you can come and be a volunteer. And we'll be handing out tracts to help people become aware. We'll be having conversations. We've got balloons for the children. So if you want to be a part of any of these, you can just contact...
Well, we've got, for example, a new Facebook page just started today.
Yes.
Traffic Proof SA. Traffic Proof SA. And we've already put the leaflet, both in color and grayscale, mm-hmm. For those who want to print them out. And use in your own situation, Traffic Proof SA. Please like it, share it, and then you can download the Stop the Traffic leaflet that Traffic Proof SA has just produced. That's one of the ways. We're looking for volunteers as well, because we can use up to 100 volunteers or more on Women's Day. We've been in 3, 4, 5, sometimes up to 8 shopping malls at a time on National Women's Day in South Africa. And if there are people in different towns other than Cape Town who would like to initiate their own, they just need to contact us and we will gladly provide a whole lot of ideas, resources, contacts, download links and so on. But if you're in Cape Town, if you could contact tertia@frontline.org.za. Mm. Tertia, T-E-R-S-H-I-A, tertia@frontline.org.za, or phone 021-689-4480 and offer your services. If you can help with distributing literature, counseling people, we'll put up tables, displays, have banners. I know that Africa Christian Action is also looking for sponsors to print some more, thousands more of the leaflets, but also pull up banners that'll attract people in shopping malls to the event. And that's really seriously important because in the shopping malls, what we're dealing with is to be able to, as Proverbs 1 says, that we are able to stand in the marketplace. That's right. Wisdom calls aloud and she raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks a word. So Proverbs 1 speaks about getting into the marketplace, and the shopping malls are the marketplace. So for 25 years, every year, Africa Christian Action has been running these National Women's Day events, making a stand against pornography, against human trafficking, against exploitation of women, which is important. We've got to be salt and light. We've got to be a conscience in this hypocritical age where people are quick to condemn the slavery that was ended 200 years ago, but say nothing about the slavery today.
That's still happening. Exactly. So Women's Day is definitely a great start opportunity to start speaking out against this terrible industry. So if you're not anywhere near Cape Town, start your own Women's Day outreaches in parks, malls, whatever it is around your communities. And I'm pretty sure people are able to download
Can they print their own
and distribute them?
That's right. You can email us mission@frontline.org.za. We'll send you. You can go onto the Traffic Proof SA on social media and download it. If you go onto our livingstonfellowship.co.za website, there's a whole lot of free tracts for download, including this new one in color or in grayscale, depending whether you want to print black and white or full color. It's a lot more expensive for the color. And this has got a whole lot of the shocking statistics, like 40 million people victims of modern-day slavery today. Mm. And there are literally 161 member states of the UN involved in human trafficking today. And to think that this is over $150 billion industry that we know of. That's billion with a B, by the way, billion. Yeah. $150 billion industry. And all other kinds of details, including how to recognize the trafficking tactics, how they trick people, how they transport people, how they trap people, how they use them, how they are often... If a job opportunity aimed at girls sounds too good to be true, It probably is.
Yeah, exactly. And I think ultimately the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The major underlying reason for this great evil is the collapsing of culture, morality, and spiritual life. Because an evil culture that is now, this evil culture is now being spread all over the world, a culture where most people can no longer even recognize the great evil, let alone fight back against it. And so earlier generations would never have tolerated pornography available on every computer and cell phone, or the death of marriage and family that we now see. And nor would they have tolerated a sex industry that is turning hundreds of thousands of young girls into sex slaves. So we are sadly reaping what we've sown. And so we must stop the wicked from exploiting, abusing, mutilating, and murdering innocent children, because they are God's children. And so will we ever stop being passive? Will we ever get angry as a people and say that this is enough, this will go no further? Will we ever fight back? Psalm 94 verse 16 says, "Who will rise up for me against the wicked, and who will stand for me against those who practice iniquity?"
Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them."
Mm.
Proverbs 31 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute." And so that is obviously what we must do. I must say it's time for pastors to speak out from pulpits. This is time for us to use our social media, time to use our voice, write to our elected representatives. If there's a radio talk show in your area, if you've got a local newspaper, community newspaper, you can write a letter to editor about. Let's speak up. Why are we tolerating such hypocrisy and cowardice that people will kick a dead dog? They will criticize something that died 200 years ago, but they'll say nothing about the threat today.
Mm.
It's enough already. These people who want a virtue signal about how they're condemning something that was defeated hundreds of years ago, but they won't speak about the threat today to our own neighborhoods, our own areas, our own children and grandchildren. This is enough already. So if we are Christians at all, we need to speak up for those who can't speak themselves. If we are pastors or churches or teachers, let's have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but let's rather expose them. And that includes exposing the people behind them, which includes Hollywood, who's grooming the victims and actually abusing them and the victims too, and includes UNESCO and the United Nations, who in many cases are not just covering for them, but are also, through their textbooks, grooming people in many third world countries with textbooks that are actually teaching them the vile practices of sexual perversion under life skills. Enough. So thank you, Emma. Thank you for the research. People can
read.
I think you'll be uploading an article in the next few days, so keep alert to the ChristianAction.org.za website, to the Henry Morton Stanley School of Christian Journalism website, and we'll be having a video on this soon. We'll get more audios. The sermon that I preached last week, last Sunday, which is on human trafficking today, also you can get the sermon audio link on frontlinemissionsa.org. And these tracks and leaflets, we're going to continue to upload in this brand new Facebook page, which is Trafficking SA. Traffic Proof. There we go. So new. Traffic Proof SA on the Facebook page. So Traffic Proof SA. And you'll get a lot on ChristianAction.org.za website and the upcoming event. If you can do anything to help for the upcoming events, or sponsor more printing, more banners, or organize one in your own area, get in touch and let's see how we can mobilize better this Wednesday. Thank you very much, Emma.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Dr. Hammond.
Good night.
Good evening.